Nice.
Was that, on bar eight, were you thinking when you went to this little thing right this, that like those.
I'm thinking four and five.
Is that like four and
four and four minor? Four and four minor.
That's not a C7 sharp 11.
No, I think
when I hear this line,
yeah, I hear that as the four minor.
Well, how do you play that one? That second. Yeah, that's. I don't know. Why do I hear a C there?
Well, you can definitely, you know, because four minor is flat seven.
Oh, right. Right, of course. Yeah. So yeah, that would be a reharmonization thing in a way if you put that.
Just not even a reharm, just the idea of companion chords. Now, right. Almost every chord has some homonyms or close buddies. So here we have A7G. Oh no, we don't. We just have A7A. Then we have a diminished chord on A. A ninth, and then the dominant seven.
What do you think of that?
I think whenever you have a dominant seven, if you lower everything,
that an A5 7.
If you have a dominant seven and you lower everything but the root, you've got a diminished seven.
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. I have to think about that when I get home. But
everything but the root, right? And the melodic extensions. If you go, I mean, that's the natural nine. That's that extension of a diminished that we spoke of before. All right. The seven and the nine.
When you do the first one, it sounds like a blues thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the horn thing, that half step.
Yeah, and there's a slow Chicago blues that'll go like, say, an E. They'll just kind of, but they won't go down again. They're not going down to here. I'll come back. They use it instead of going to the four there. They're like,
Like
old Delta blues.
Oh, I mean, that's in rock stuff. You hear that intros like that. Or the guy, they'll be going, no, they'll stay in this, and then the guy goes.
Oh, okay, yeah, so that's the same thing. Well, because rock came from blues, a lot of it, so.
Oh, yeah, or Red House, yeah, and it starts out like that.
Let me have you. That's great. I'm thinking, when I think diminished, I really think diminished, but many times I'm just thinking five.
Right.
This is definitely E minor to its own five.
I had a question about that. Right when you're in this part here, was the bass line intentional? I noticed like a half step approach bass, even though they weren't the roots. It was like a bass line.
Yeah, just voice leading is all I think there. I'm not thinking of the bass note only. I'm just thinking of the whole chord.
That's the part that went from.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I didn't have a thing. Right.
That could have been.
Right.
The bass could have jumped down there. The bass could have stayed down stationary. The bass isn't the significant thing to me there. It's just I wanted a nice voice leading. I just happened to move the bass at that moment. Okay, fine. That's a G4. Something.
So it's the. You're using the. Five and E minor, but
that's right.
But instead of going to, you're going a half step down to the D on the
this
bass.
Tone. If you just heard this out of the blue, it's true we want, kind of feel it moving up, but it also sounds bitching going down. Right. You know, so
half step's a half step, right. I guess.
Good E7. Yeah. This is the five of the relative minor.
That's just a Lydian dominant thing.
No, this is Lydian, but then this is B minor. Then it's on five and then B minor. It's like a little small tone center.
I can look at the music.
It's five.
Wait a minute.
It's like a mini tone center for a moment.
But in the music.
I just don't worry about that. If the music shows E7 for that whole period.
No, it does. It's let's see. Da, da, da. Yeah, E7 for the, that's, so I was thinking you were still thinking
E7 and all that? Yeah, then it would be Lydian dominant. You're right.
It still sounds good with that.
Yeah, it sure does. I never considered it that way, but it's true.
Why would you go to B minor there temporarily?
I guess I heard this root function. I heard.
I noticed there was the voices go out.
Yeah.
Not very much.
I just hear that as a B minorish kind of thing. for some reason I heard those, when you hear the melody notes in the key, yeah. 6, 7, 8, that's either 4, 5, 1 in major, or sometimes it's enter into the relative minor tone set, which just works either way. Gerald? Flat six and its relative minor.
That's just to the G minor six or A minor
seven. Yeah, after the B flat, right. I just think B flat, like a reharm, if it's not in the music. I'm not even sure if it's in the music.
In the music, it goes to G minor six for okay. Whole bar.
So I guess I went B flat or G minor seven.
I wrote G minor seven, G minor six.
Yeah, that works too, to definitely think of it that way. And then this bum, this G Lydian chord is a...
G add 9 sharp 11.
Yeah, right. That's just a 4. Or a 2, you can hear it as an E minor if you put E in the bass. It's a nice 2 chord. You get interesting overtones. That's right. Then this thing. Regular passage. That's all dominant.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
This is diminished with this.
Yeah, that's what extension. Yeah, that. Yeah, that's. I had a problem with that just because you want these notes to ring. I'm trying to
just the bottom, just like
that's one of those little chops things where my finger has to learn to bend and not mute. But
I'm sure you can do it, Mark. Oh. Real dexterous hands. So
I'm not worried about
used
it.
To it. That sounds good with those double or triple note things. Scotty Anderson, you were the first one to expose me to him, weren't you?
I think so, yeah.
I sure played his videotape and made copies for a lot of people.
It's fun. I like bringing it out every once in a while.
Gee, he's a stunning player, man. He's really stunning. He doesn't run out of ideas, you know?
He just goes and goes.
His right hand is so fluid, watching him switch styles down there in the right hand. Yeah, so we have diminished and major.
I got 2 questions there now. Okay. When you get to this chord right here.
Yeah, there I'm thinking of that as an E7. You wrote E7, that's
yeah,
wrong.
B minor major. I know it has those things have 5 names or something.
Yeah, right. I'm just thinking E7 and then I just get what I can. I hold the bass note, that's best I can do.
Oh, okay. I was wondering how
different fingerings facilitate different, you know, crazy. Yeah. I just
and then the next chord
E minor. You just do what you can.
Why don't you just do it down here then?
Tone.
I just hear what you're saying. Just because of the.
Yeah, I'd rather lose this note and keep this round sound on the initial impact. This is a much different sound.
Yeah, it's a little tinier. For lack of a better word.
This chord I'm thinking of is.
That's another one of those. Right.
Actually, here I'm thinking of. What the hell did I think?
That's one of these. That's one of these.
This is E minor 6, yeah. I went to a different E, exactly.
This is one of these kind of.
It is, it's just this one.
I remember learning these before. These.
Yeah, it's the same exact voicing. This is.
Those are minor major 7s, sharp 11s, or sharp 13s, or minor 6th, or.
11 flat 9. It's dominant sus type flat 9.
Bunch of different things, yeah.
Here I'm thinking 3, 6.
Right, yeah. Yeah, this F minor 6, 2.
B9.
B9.
Rather than F sharp minor 6 there. I'm actually shifting root function 3, 6.
Then I get 2. It. 2, yeah, right.
Then the tags. Yeah, fingering. Now check out. That's too hard of a move, Mark. What I want to do is start out this one without the first finger.
Yeah. Yeah. And right. Without the first finger.
So then you.
Sorry, that's harder.
Push this down. Yeah, it's only harder at first, but then you're set up for the next thing. See?
Well, I want.
No, wait a second. Now, you just did something that defeats the purpose. See, if you release all the fingers, that's harder than just gliding into it.
Oh, I don't know if I can. Oh, I guess I can. Yeah.
Sure you can.
I see what you're saying.
Try not to bar too many strings on that. Just glide down. I notice you bar a chunk of strings there. That's easier for you?
Yep.
That's pretty tough. You might want to go with this finger. button with the pinky down for. Oh, is that easy for you?
Okay, I'll make it.
Right.
Oh, oh, that's it.
Wait a second. Wait, wait, wait. Listen. There you go. Almost. It's like one of those.
See, you know how your fingers get used to a certain habit of going. So what I, although that's not the way you had it written, I got that was kind of, that is kind of a jump though. I think the other way you recommend is going to be better.
In the long run, it's a little easier. It's harder at first.
Yeah.
Watch my left hand. You'll see.
I mean that those two. Why not? Why waste motion if your two fingers can just stay there, right?
Okay.
That's so the only problem is like you get habits, you know.
So did you have a song that you were hoping we'd tap today, or should I bring one out, or what?
Yeah, I didn't really have one in particular. I just got anything that's
over the rainbow, Beatle tunes.
I was talking
standards.
Yeah, no, standards are fine.
It had to be used popular again because it's Harry Connick Jr.
How was? Oh yeah, Harry Connick. How was that Over the Rainbow?
Over the Rainbow, it's a full page arrangement. It's pretty tough, but it's not too tough for you. It's got a lot of little details in it, and it's in the key of the E, so it rings pretty good. Have you played through the song? Do you know the sound of it?
What?
Over the Rainbow?
No, I don't know it.
Have you ever heard it?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's in your head, huh?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, hear the basic chords. Backwards progression, you know. Backwards cycle, and then to the 5 of 4. 4, 5, 1, 6, 2, 4 minor, 1, 6, 2, 5, 1. So the only real unusual thing is by Tin Pan Alley standards, it's going backwards there. Backwards motion, you know.
Which is normal in pop, all the.
Yeah, R&B, especially in the 60s. Pre-Beatles R&B, all those. It's just so common to hear that sound, but you just don't hear it in a bunch of standards to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are the basic changes, and I would just work with them and add things here and there. If you want to tackle it, we could.
Is it, well, I
mean, it's written now. I'm just thinking because it's a written one. If you want to take one that's not written, we can use the tape and whatever you like, Mark. Time is not our ally, but
yeah, no.
Do the best we can.
Well, let me just see what I have here.
We can get. I can just give you that and take. You'll take it home and work with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And while you're here, we can do something else if you prefer, instead of going through it.
You know what? There was one I had. Night and Day, right? That has a lot of sustained notes.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
I mean, what would you do? What if you got even in this thing? What if you were tired? Like this is pretty diatonic. You didn't change the chords really, except for some of the little edges and stuff.
Yeah.
But,
cycles that are so much fun. Instead of going this regular cycle of 4, say,
right.
This cycle is still part of the key of E in the large sense, just using those modified degrees.
The half step above or something.
Yeah, because this is a 2 minor 7 flat 5, which kind of partakes in 4 minor, you know, when you hear this sound. So 4 minor, flat 7, flat 3, flat 6, then the 2. And maybe the house that
what key
did
you do it?
I was in E. I don't know why. I just chose a key I like.
Why don't you do a D flat then?
E flat, I would.
You will. You're going to tune your guitar, play an E and tune the guitar down.
E flat's a great key for the song. In fact, I think that that was the original key, but the book showed in C now.
C, and then that part in the middle goes.
Yeah. That has a great verse too, by the way. You might want to learn it.
I don't have the part
in the front end of the song.
I don't have that.
You might want to get a Cole Porter songbook someday with all his good tunes. There are two volumes. The first one's pretty outstanding. Big, thick book. You can find it used for maybe $10 or something.
I realized the majority of those tunes, they eliminated the verse.
In the fake books, yeah.
And a lot of times for good cause, because a lot of times the verse is maybe just...
They're pretty interesting. They have good piano harmony. You see I learned a lot of voicing and things, or it stimulated my head to research a lot of voicing and things from playing this, you know, because you find a little progression in there and you'd say, what the hell is this thing doing? When the music would say, I don't know, would say B minor, and then it might say C minor 6 to A 7, I'd say, I don't know why they would possibly do this. You know, it didn't make sense for the era that they would have it. It sounded like Jan and Dean or something, you know, it just didn't.
Just reading the chords.
Yeah, so you look at it and say, what is that really, and why does that work so? And then you say, parallel tenths, probably a lot of progressions, you know. So that's the stuff you get from studying those piano. Anyway, it's up to you, Mark.
Yeah, I don't have the music for it right here, though.
I don't either. But you know it in your head?
No, not really. I mean, I've played it a few times. I can, like, look at the fake book and play some chords.
Okay, well, with the tape, we can get through part of it. At least maybe the whole thing is a short song, and I'll still give you Over the Rainbow. You can take home and look at it.
Give me some idea. Okay, you want to do it in C?
Sure, we can do it in any key, like.
That was fun last time, because we had the guitar tune in E-flat, which is good for me anyways. And you're talking, well, it's B, and I had to, like, transpose because I'm listening to the tape.
Oh, so when you went back home, you were in normal tuning, you mean?
Yeah. It doesn't bother me. The only thing that was different sometimes is if you had to happen to make an example with an open string.
Oh, that doesn't help.
But just, you know.
I used to teach always down a half step and have my students play one of my guitars down a half step. Precisely for what happened to you is why I stopped doing that, because it does make it tough when you go home, unless you keep one tune down. Good enough for Stevie Ray and Jimmy, Eddie's early stuff. Night and Day, okay.
Yeah, I had that in my little list only because it was like I said, it has a lot of sustained notes, and you could be like, it's like.
Okay, so it starts out on 2-5-1, but it's an octave 2, right?
Yeah. What's the next chord?
Sharp 4 half diminished. That's right. Right. Diminished half step down, right? That's it, exactly. What did you play instead of 2 or 5? Oh, there we go. What did you play before that?
I think I put a sharp 9 in it for some reason.
That's what you did. Yeah, that. You know when that really works out great? When your bass line is going. They should get a nice full sound in those.
Ones. Sounds like Joe Beam or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's good ears on the quartet.
He likes
this. Yeah, I don't know if he. I think he thinks diminished. For us, we can call that a 2. Should we throw this thing on, this tape?
It's on.
It's been on, huh?
It's been on.
You did a check.
It's a check.
Great. That same chord you're playing. I'm just leaving the first string.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go for the double stop to hear the real root.
Right.
However you want to play it. There are many ways to play that chord. Like, put the second finger here. Is this way too tough for your hand right now? Like, you take a C9 shape.
Is the A involved in this?
You play the B flat too. Now there's three notes with this, and then you bring the pinky in front. Double stop the bottom to stick the second finger right in between these two.
Oh.
There it is. That's it. Yeah, that's a good fingering. That's the best fingering, actually, for ease once you can do it. You're one of the only people that comes here that can do that easily. Most guys complain about that. So the fact that you can do it, I would work on it every day until it's a friend. It's a nice full voice.
Jeez.
C, E, B, D, G. My feeling is 2-2-1-3-3-3 with 4 in front of 3.
Why do I want the B flat in there?
Because the leverage for most of us is easier than if we try to put that third finger on 2 strings. I'm not sure why.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see.
Well, that works too, what you're starting to do there. That's the backwards finger. It's interesting you stumbled on that. From the top down, that's 2-2-4-1-3-3. The Nashville fellas play 4 fingers over the top with the thumb grip.
Oh, yeah.
Or 3 fingers.
That's what I was doing on this chord here that you had.
So, night and day, yes. So, when it starts out.
That chord, I know it's going down.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Are you using the.
It's cheeseburger hold the cheese. I mean, there's no minor third in there yet. But let's try this fingering. 1-3-2-2-2. 2-2-2. And then 4 in front. Once you're used to it, that feels pretty decent.
What's wrong with that?
I'm afraid of that. When I see people try to grab it up here, I don't think they're gonna, like, if you try and grab that up in the mid-range in the neck,
I see.
Put that down
saying.
Real fast. And,
I see what you're saying. Okay, do it my way.
That's what I worry about, that second string.
Yeah.
Whereas this is no day at the beach either, but I think it's a tiny bit easier.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
This finger just goes only on the second string. This third finger, only on string number 2, and then learn to push with that.
Let's
hear a couple other fingerings, Mark, that might work better for you. You'll work with that and see if you can get results. Let's try this.
1-3-3-3. A, G, B,
yeah. And 2 next to 3. And then 4 in front. Still another one. 1-2-2. Backwards 3 and 4. And if 2 gets in the way of the first one, makes that happen, try moving 2 over just a little bit, like cheat on it towards yourself. Like move the second finger farther towards the fourth string. Here's the last fingering. 1-3-2-2-1.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
And this
nice thing is there, you get.
In this,
oh, yeah, you keep the duet. In
the other song?
Yeah, just the fifth finger.
Is that what you're supposed to do that?
Yeah, it's that.
And then.
Yeah, actually, it sounds nice what you just did there, re-striking all of them. I maybe should have written X's all over them all. That sounds cool to do that. I guess I wanted the sustained bass. The bass going.
And then you do the.
So yeah, we have.
Still working on it. What's that second chord?
Five. It's a funny 5. It's a loud ballpark. 7 flat 5 with an extra melody tone. There's your G7.
Almost looked like you had a C there, but I just.
Barring the third finger, and use your thumb.
So you have this.
See, that's G7. That's not bad, but we're trying for a little flavor.
Oh, that's what I meant.
There it is. Yeah, that's chord. They're both fingers now.
You want an F on top?
Yeah. Third on top, key of C.
Third on top?
Yeah. Or take it the open string on occasion. Right, for sure.
Oh, you want the.
This fingering that's safe. Put second finger on D, first finger on C, pile the other fellas in. If your D string's not too loud, you can use this one. My tone right now, my D is way too loud. With certain tone settings, the D won't get in the way.
That was
F minor 9, B5, 7, B5 major 7, a couple thirds in there. Yeah, I like to improvise, and these days it's more fun.
I mean,
unless I know the tune of an arrangement that I worked out, then I use that. I improvise at the fills.
Do you remember all these arrangements you have here? You got a lot of them, but...
These arrangements, well, some of these are teaching arrangements. Okay. I would, this one's not bad, I might play better, but I long for certain other things that I want to write in this level of arrangement.
Right.
Anyway, then it goes to the sharp four. Across the cycle. C for E minor. And E minor.
Half step approach.
What I did is I decided this diminished would not. I wasn't sure I could make friends with the diminished. Do a good job on that melody note, that bass note. So I jump down to a lower bass register, play this C before I made the transition to the extension. That's that double extension stuff that we talked about.
Right.
Let's do it together. G.
G.
C. G. E. Pardon me. C. D. Okay. Now when you lower the root.
Two lowers, no.
Then you lower the root to the major 7 to get the extension. Right, now you have a diminished extension. You lower these a whole step, that's your standard chord.
Lower to minor third, one leg is lower to whole step.
Oh, they both go
oh, I
the same distance.
Oh, I see.
There's a melodic thing that you could
I see.
Because I think the melody goes, you know, like chromatic or something. There, maybe. And there's another chromatic. 4 for 2. You have to see him play just to try it. This is half step above the 5. Right. Suspended 5. We're in the dark regions of the register here. And then, the piano sound for change. You know, we're down here, so shift. This is a fun 5 chord that I like the sound of.
Oh yes, what 5 is this?
Okay, we bar the 8th fret a little bit on string number 2 and 3.
Got it.
Put second finger on B. Now we have a G augmented.
Right.
We add the raised 9 by stretching the buns off here. Do the Segovia stretch. Turn the hand the other way. Not slanted the way we normally stretch. Go with the backwards wrist angle. Let's point your fingers towards your left shoulder.
Well, is there no more notes to put in there?
No, just the B flat. But... Oh, okay, you feel better. Stretch it. Okay, whatever
stretches.
Works for each hand. Okay. Yeah, when I do it the way you're doing it there, I feel like my elbow's right up against my body. When I do it this way, when I bring the Segovia angle...
No, when I angle, it pulls my finger away, the pinky away.
You mean when you go this way?
Yeah, it pulls my pinky off.
Show me how you mean. Like, go the other way.
You want that to go that way, right?
Right.
It pulls my
pinky. Oh, I see. Okay,
well,
you'll work on it. The only thing is, in the long run, I think this angle's safer than this.
I would just straight up and down.
Maybe that's just, you might just have a better stretch in me, because when I do straight up and down, I'm not sure I can move. That would be the easiest way if one could do that. Hello. Yeah, you reach me. Yeah, I remember, Bob. Yeah, my apologies. I'm not sitting with a student now, so I can't talk to you, but stay in touch. If you don't hear from me, get back to me real soon, and we'll see if I can get you going, all right? Yeah, that's good. Or call me at the end of the week. I'll take care of Friday, Sunday, I think.
Either this time or next time, get you to play When You Wish Upon a Star, just your own way.
What the heck would I do? It's gonna be the same style. have to work some out.
If you're just improvising, you hear the gig, and someone says, play which I want to start.
Off the top of my head, but that's not so good. But that's about what I would do at this stage. If I practice, I usually am happier.
Yeah. Well, when you're live, though.
Well, if I'm live and I've practiced, man,
I feel great. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. You're not practicing the tune.
I've not the tune, but just in general, if I have like devices in my head,
I see.
I'm in love with music and I've tried lots of new ideas. Right now, I'm just going from past memory and.
Yeah.
Frankly, a tiny bit of just courage, just go for it. You know?
I want to get an idea because that's what, you know, when I write a chord melody, you know, it's good to probably write a simplified one like the one you have. Like,
actually, what I ended up with is fairly similar to this
but
in
you
a
had
lot
the,
of places.
I wanted to actually, another thing is I want to see the rhythm thing of it too.
Yeah, I might put it in tempo. It's a nice tune to just kind of get it.
When I was playing with it, since I can't make some of the change, I play it rubato, but it sounds good because it's a ballad. You can
it's
go.
It's great as an out of time. There's no need for rhythm.
You know, just do it to your own tempo. You know, it's like
it
sounds.
I like it. I like it out of time. Actually, I just went into rhythm because I wasn't happy with my harmonic approach at the moment.